Lord of all creation. Oh, water, earth, and skies. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. But early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. And when I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by
voices.
You're the one.
We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, when the detours come, that they don't shake you because you already knew they were coming. But Lord, they test us and they give us determination to follow you. Lord, help us to press on even through the detours. That, Lord, you are faithful to us. And we feel that faithfulness. Lord, we realize that faithfulness even when the winds of the storm come. We can hear your voice that says, peace be still. We can hear your voice that says, calmness, be still. And Father, we ask, Lord, that those that are going through a storm today, that you would allow them to feel that inner peace, Lord, that only you can give. Lord, that you can allow them to feel that calmness over their spirit right now. That you can allow them, Lord, to focus in on what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, not on the circumstances that they're walking through, but what you're doing in their lives. Speak to them now, Lord. Touch their physical bodies. Touch their emotional beings. Lord, strengthen their spiritual belief and faith in you, Lord. And give them the power, Father, to withstand this storm. We thank you, Father, that with you, we can do these things. With you, Lord, we can take the journey. Lord, with you, Father, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious in you, Father, and we give you praise. Thank you, Father, that you can move the mountains. Thank you, Lord, that you can walk us through the waves of a storm. Thank you, Father, that you are the one who sees us through every hardship that we're going through. Lord, you see us through the daily routines, the frustrations, and the daily craziness that happens in our lives. But you give us security and foundation that it only comes through your word. It only comes through knowing you. It only comes through our salvation. And we give you praise. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Church, let me hear you say amen. Let me hear you say you're more than conquerors. Woo! Yes! Can you move the mountains? Yes, you can. With God, all things are possible. It's so good seeing you at CSIC this morning. We are thankful that you're here. We're thankful that we come together as a body of Christ, and we're encouraged. We're encouraged when we sing together. We're encouraged when we pray together. We're encouraged when we high-five each other in the hallways. We are a family, and we enjoy our connections together. Sunday's a good time. Sunday's a good time when we gather and we're in fellowship together. Wednesday nights are awesome when we get together in our Bible groups and we can actually share. We can actually hear one another's stories. We're a family. And God has drawn us together for such a time as this to be encouraged. Yes, yes, you may be seated this morning. It's good to see you. You know, I was thinking this week, Pastor posted a picture of me on Facebook. He took that picture through our window, and a lot of you have even spoken to me this morning about it. But I was thinking about all the distractions we go through in life. Don't we go through a lot of distractions? We go through a lot of distractions in life. In fact, we were taught to multitask. So you can skim and you can, go through your television channels left and right. You can watch more than one show at the same time. You know, you can read your Facebook and still be working on your computer. There's a lot of multitasking that we do. But I'm not sure that multitasking is a good thing. For years, they taught us that we needed to learn to multitask. But guess what they're saying now? It may not be as good as they thought it was gonna be. The scientists and all those that study those things are saying, you know what? We really need to focus on important things. This is no news for us as Christians. The Bible tells us to meditate, and think on these things that God has shown us and done for us. Sometimes we need to, wherever our spot is, mine is on my porch when it's cool. Early in the mornings, late in the evenings, in that chair that's worn out and Bogey declares it's his, but it's mine. Sometimes you have to share with your dog. But find your place where you can read that scripture and it just keeps circulating so you can read it again. And then you can sit and you can meditate on it. Because what happens when we meditate on something? I think about food. If you ever go to somebody that is like a food critic, they don't just spoon it in and swallow it down. No, there's a process to all those flavors in your mouth. The sweet, the salty, the bitter, all of those things matter. They allow that to just permeate their mouths as they swallow it, as they roll it around in their mouths. When we meditate on God's word, it's not just going into our mind. It's getting into our spirit. It's changing our heart. It's speaking to us. It's more than just a quick read. It's a time of meditation. God, what are you saying from this scripture to me today? You know, a lot of people say a fresh word. A fresh word. Do you know how long the Bible has been written? It's old. But let me tell you, when you sit down and you read that word today, it's your fresh word. It's your fresh word because it is a living word and it permeates our beings. And it doesn't just go into our mind or into our ears. We have to allow it to go into our spirit, to meditate, to think on it, to allow it to change our hearts, which is going to change our behaviors, which is going to change our goals, which is going to change our focus. That when you're in the grocery store and you see the person that's in need beside you, you hear them telling the cashier their story, and you say, you know what? I'd love to pray with you if you can just let me check out. They're going to wait for you because they're going to want that prayer. They want that change. They want that hope. They want what you have. So meditate on the word. Allow God to change you. Allow God to use you. I love it. I love it. And I think it's just something that came to me this weekend as I had that time on the porch in mine and Bogey's chair to stop. Don't worry about the laundry. Don't worry about the grass in the flower beds. Don't worry about getting to the drugstore on time. Don't worry about the person that you're supposed to meet for an appointment, but to take that time and say, God, I'm focusing on you. This scripture I read has been over and over in my mind, and I am going to sit until you speak within me a clearness, until you change me, until you motivate me. I'm going to sit and allow you to feed me. We need that time of meditation. It's so good. It's so good. And guess what? I've said it before. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We take authority, responsibility of getting our time with God. Do it. Do it, because yesterday was so needed for me. Yesterday was so needed, that meditation time. It's encouraging. God always, I don't even want to use the word surprise because we know he does it. So we're not surprised. But he always awes me. Always come away from his presence in awe. Just like when we leave today. God's going to speak a word into our spirit today from Pastor, through Pastor. You know, he's already fed us with a wonderful worship and praise time. When we leave, we're going to leave in awe. We're going to leave changed. We're going to leave with focus and motivation. Amen. So good to have you today. And if you're a guest with us, we welcome you. And we have a gift for you at our Welcome Center. It's right out in the middle of the foyer. And we'd love to speak with you before you leave. Ladies, you don't want to miss it Thursday night. We've got surprises for you. And we're excited. There's some final plans coming into play today. But we want you to bring your girls. We want you to bring your neighbors. We want you to bring your friends who need a great inspiration from God. We have a guest speaker. Her name is Candace Bug. She's from Indiana. And she will be speaking with us and our girls on Thursday night, 6:30. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be a great meal. It's going to be great fellowship. We're going to connect. We're going to communicate. We're going to be encouraged by the Word of God and our speaker. We're also going to have a guest to do our praise and worship. And so her name is Heather Culliver. And so I think you will enjoy. I just said her name wrong. Help me out, honey. Heather is going to be speaking with us. And I always get her name switched, flip-flop from when she's single and when she's married. But anyway, Heather will be with us and she'll be sharing in praise and worship with us on that evening. So I want you to make sure you sign up, ladies. And if you don't have the availability to sign up by your phone, you can hit us at the Welcome Center today. It's $10. It includes your meal. It includes your favor that you'll be taking home. And it includes a lot of extra things. It's going to be an energetic night, but it's also going to be a night where we can connect with women as women and hear what God has for us. You don't want to miss it.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Joy must want me to take the offering this morning. Amen. Amen. Focus. She forgot to multitask, didn't she? Well, guess what? I take a bigger offering than her anyway. Amen. Come on, let's bring your tithes and offerings to the front this morning. Let's just give to the Lord joyously today. Praise the Lord. You know what, Pastor Joy? If I didn't have a password on this iPad, I would think that she stole my message. Amen. You're going to hear me preach this morning. I'm going to stay where I was going. And she's already released a good portion of it. Amen. So that time of meditation paid off. She got a preview into what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. God is faithful, isn't he? Praise God. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your tithes and offerings. Such a joy to be in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Nisha, I'm going to ask you to stand up and just turn around and wave at our people this morning. This is Nisha Ong. She came all the way from Seattle, Washington today. She surprised us. Amen. We were communicating with her earlier in the week. I had no idea that she was going to come. She drove 2.5 hours this morning. She's all the way from the West Coast, had come down to spend some time with family at the birth of a new baby. And she drove 2.5 hours to join us today. I think we ought to take her out to eat. Don't you think that's fair enough? Come on. Oh, well. Amen. So we'll fellowship with her. Her daughter is in kids' church this morning, enjoying that time together. Also good to see James Gay. Brother James, stand up, man. Come on, man of God, stand up. Pastor James Gay. So good to have him back in the house of the Lord. Praise God. I just am excited about what God is going to say to us today. By the way, Brian, man, you rocked the boat last Sunday. I'll tell you what, you did a great job. Come on, give it up for Brian today. Come on. I think they want you to preach and want me to sit down or something. I don't get this anyway. Did an incredible job in the series Heartstrings, Psalm 63. And we're going to stay with the course of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through the book of Psalms today. Heartstrings, the book of Psalms. Today I'm speaking from Psalms 1. And by the way, thank you for just believing in and supporting the mission that God's placed on my heart. We raise up leaders, guys. I'm sorry if you haven't noticed that yet. That's what we do. We raise up leaders. Today, Joel Tapscott's in Roanoke Rapids at Fresh Fire, and one of our school of ministry members heading. There'll be a day when he'll just go out of here. Amen. We don't want that, but we're glad that we get to do that. Amen. And so thank you for encouraging those who preach and those who cover me when we're gone, and also to allow me the freedom and the liberty to do what God's called me to do in the eastern part of the state. I was just moved up just a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, congratulate with me right now, Pastor Joy, stand, dear, one more time. She was just ordained with the Assemblies of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Received her ordination. After several years of just waiting a while and doing some academics, and she's taken that big step, and so she received her ordination in Raleigh, North Carolina, just a couple of weeks ago, and they moved me to executive presbytery level, which covers the eastern part of the state. You say, well, Pastor, you're going to be busier than you were. No, now, because I got people working under me to help me to do that task, so my job should be a little easier, and you don't know how much it means to me to be able to do those things because, with your blessing, because we believe that God's called us not just to touch this community, but to carry the message of the gospel and to reinforce that God loves everybody through a multicultural ministry approach all over eastern North Carolina. We're seeing it happen. Praise God. We're seeing it happen. Well, let's get into the word this morning. Somebody say heartstrings. Psalms 1. Let me read this to you from the New International Version. Blessed is the one who does not walk. Notice he uses a different type of language here. Rather than saying what we are doing, he's saying what we're not doing. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Blessed is the one who does not stand in the way that sinners take. And also blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight, now here's what we should do, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, there's only two times a day you should meditate on the word, day and night. Okay? Go ahead, Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great revivalist of the past. That person, he says, verse 3, is like a tree. Here's a metaphor. It's like. We're like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. How many of you have ever found yourself saying, I don't get it, man. They don't even go to church. They don't serve the Lord. They get a new car every year. How many of you ever said, come on. How many of you have ever said that? I don't get it, man. I got cancer, and they're as well as they can be, and they're not even serving God. Come on, how many times have you thought that? Let's just be honest here. Let's keep it real. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And then he says in verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way. Check this out. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Because guess what? The way of the wicked, the path leads where? Destruction. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is spirit and truth. Your word is life. Your word is peace. Your word is hope. Thank you, God, for causing this word to be lodged into our spirit man today. Help it to change us a little more into the image and the likeness of the Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said a strong amen. We're going to look today at the life of the righteous and the life of the wicked. I hope you are with me here. Psalm 1, pull out your device, whatever you need to do. Thank you, online audience, for being with us faithfully week after week. We're going to talk about first the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous, what the righteous man does not do. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Notice what he says here. Blessed is the man. This is a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is Esher. This Hebrew word is Esher. It's translated blessed. So if you're in the original text here, the original language of the Old Testament is Hebrew. If you were there in Hebrew, the word would be Esher. It means a sense of what? Happiness or contentment. And Esher, you have to trace that word down. Where does that word come from? It's a root of the word Ashar. And that word Ashar means to be straight, to be right. Now, I know in our culture today, there's a big battle over what it means to be straight. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's not what we're talking about today. I'm straight, okay? But here we're talking about a posture, come on, or a position in your spiritual walk with God. We're talking about being straight. Hey, man, you got it straight? That means, are you walking with God? Are you at peace? Is your account with God settled? Okay? He says it is to be right. Blessed is the man speaks of happiness. It speaks of blessedness. It speaks of contentment. In other words, the righteous man will be a blessed man. You know, some of you are saying, well, you know what? Man, I know I'm not righteous. Guess what? I know I'm not righteous as well. But guess what I have? I have, because of the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ imputed his righteousness onto me. So when he looks at me, you know what he says? There's one of my righteous ones. Okay? You and I have made a decision, a conscious, willful decision to walk after the things of God. Therefore, we are considered the righteous ones. Now, how many of you know that your disappointment sometimes comes in your own behavior? Your disappointment sometimes comes in maybe something that you said. Maybe you lost your cool and you came out with some terms that wasn't really like you. And what do you feel immediately? God has given you a sense of conscience. And so you say, man, you know what? I wish I hadn't have said that. How many of y'all have done that besides me? Come on. I wish I hadn't have said that. But guess what? You did. How many of you said something to your spouse and immediately you think, man, I wish I hadn't have said that. And you go to your spouse and you say, sweetheart, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. No, you're not. I heard what you said. Oh, well, okay. She'll get over it after a while. Okay. Or vice versa. Maybe she said something to you and maybe it takes her a few hours and she comes along and she says, honey, I lost it a moment ago and I'm sorry. Every one of us are in touch with our humanity, okay? But guess what? God looks at you and he sees his imputed righteousness upon you and he considers you to be his righteous ones in Christ Jesus. Come on. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so he sees you as a cleansed, righteous one in the faith. In other words, the righteous man will be a blessed man, a happy man, a man who knows and understands peace within simply because of his spiritual position with Christ. Every year, in the latter part of the year, I'm reaching in my wallet now because I have this card in my wallet. I've told you about this before. And I put it above everything else. It's above my license, okay? This is my credential card. This simply says that Wallace C. Phillips is hereby recognized by the Executive Presbytery of the General Council of the Assemblies of God, Springfield, Missouri, as a ordained minister of the gospel. Okay? And guess what? My card is valid until December 31st. Because you know what I have to do after December 31st? I have to renew. Here's what I want you to catch here. I have to renew because I have to bring myself back into right relationship with the Assemblies of God. I have to bring myself back into good standing with the Assemblies of God. What are they going to look at? They're going to pull up my financial account and see if I've tithed my income from January to December. We don't do you like that. We just trust you. But they check to see if Wallace Phillips and Joy Phillips have tithed their income. And if we haven't tithed, guess what? Then we have an accountability meeting and they want to know why you have not tithed, and they give you an opportunity to make it up in one check or you forfeit your credentials. I hear some, wow. How many of y'all believe that's strict? How many of you also believe that if the man of God's going to preach the Bible, he should do what? He should live the Bible. Come on. Okay? Guess what the pastor expects from you? If you're going to be a leader in this church, if you're going to attend this church, you not only preach the Bible, but you do what? You live the Bible. Amen? So we're called into accountability. Every year as a minister of the gospel, I have to renew my fellowship with the Assemblies of God. I answer all the questions, check all the boxes, submit my detailed report in order to renew my fellowship with this organization. In other words, I do what I do to keep myself in good standing, to keep myself straight, to keep myself right. And shortly after that, here it comes in the mail, I get a card, good for 2023. Okay? So I'm accountable annually to this organization. And it states at the bottom of the card, you are in good standing through December 31st, 2022. Okay? After that, we'll talk. Okay? We'll look at your financial records. We'll check your credit report. Listen, they're going to come through and do what they want to do because they want to know that if they said he's a man of God, then he is a man of God. Okay? Oh, you can go to Google. You can go to the website right now and just search ordination. They'll send you one in the mail in a week, $25. You'll be ordained. But who are you accountable to? You can't even remember where you bought the certificate. And they're certainly not going to check on your life. Okay? So don't waste your money. So here we are in right relationship. Here we are in good standing. Maybe you're a member of something that requires renewal. If so, you understand there are certain requirements that they may have in order for you to be declared in a right relationship, in good standing. You're in good standing. You're straight. You're right with them. And so therefore, you now have all the blessings that come from being a part of that relationship, of being a part of that organization. The same is true in your walk with God. The only difference is Jesus Christ checked all the boxes for you, okay? Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. He died for us. He resurrected for us. And our faith renewed in him assures us that we are truly blessed. That's what blessed means. It means we're happy, we're content, we're overjoyed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that we who have this hope in Christ do what? We will keep ourselves pure. That's what our responsibility is as believers. If you have this hope in Christ Jesus, then you're called to keep yourself pure just as what? He is pure. You're pure in Christ Jesus. You're blessed. Blessed means I'm supremely happy. I'm supremely fulfilled. In fact, I love this. The Hebrew word for blessed is actually a plural word. How do you say blessed with plural? How do you say blessed in a plural sense? You can't say it, can you? Blessed. How do you say blessed plural? No, it's the understanding of the language that you don't understand. We don't know Hebrew. But blessed in the plural means it denotes that there is a multiplicity of blessings or an intensification of blessings. In other words, you're blessed in your health. You're blessed in your spirit. You're blessed in your family. You're blessed on your job. You're blessed when you go in. You're blessed when you go out. Okay, you're blessed in a multiplicity of ways. It is a plural understanding of the blessings of God. See, you're in a win-win situation when you come to Christ. You're blessed abundantly. This right relationship, this right standing that you declared, that you're blessed. Paul told the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is what he said. He said, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He said, in other words, he said, Paul, there's a multiplicity of blessings here. It's plural. There are many that you have. You have peace, joy, salvation, healing, deliverance from everything that had you bound. And the list goes on. And notice in our Psalms 1:1, it's not blessed is the king or blessed is the scholar or blessed is the wealthy man. No, it's blessed is the man who places his faith and trust in God. Come on. You don't have to be wealthy to be blessed. You don't have to be a certain posture in the community to be blessed. It's blessing from God is for whosoever will. Come on. Can you give the Lord praise today? You can be blessed no matter if you're the prince or the pauper. You can be blessed. Friends, you and I are blessed. I came in this morning. One of the first persons I saw in the back row, hey, Scott Wolf, how you doing? You know what he said? Hey, I'm blessed, man. I said, you don't know how much you're on target here this morning. He smiled at me. I said, just listen to the message. How are you, Scott? I'm blessed. You sure are. You're blessed means that you're blessed spiritually. You're blessed socially. You're blessed physically. You're blessed financially. You're blessed in every capacity. Why? Because you've chosen to let the old man die and the new man arise in Christ and declare yourself blessed by the living God. Do I have any blessed people in the house of God today? Yes, we do. Amen. Notice David bothers to tell us what blessed people do not do. All right, here we go. Buckle your seatbelt. What do blessed people not do? Well, in other words, a blessed man doesn't do certain things. There's a way that a blessed man will not walk. There's a path that a blessed man will not stand in. There's a seat that a blessed man will not take a seat in. And we can say these things, as Pastor Joy said, of thinking and behaving and belonging to certain groups. The righteous man and the ungodly man are so different in how they think and how they behave and to whom they belong. The reason that the blessed man does not participate in these walking, standing, or sitting arenas is the realm of the ungodly is because there is a progression to sin. Let me help you here a little. There's a progression to sin. The great lesson to be learned about sin is this. Sin is progressive. In other words, one evil propensity or one evil act. You know what it does? It leads to another. Okay? That's why it's so important to be careful how you live. One little evil act, one little website, one little open spot, okay, could lead to another and another and another. That's why it's important. Listen, you say, well, you know, I don't have a problem with alcohol. How do you know? How do you know that you don't have a propensity or a weakness toward alcoholism? How do you know that? Well, you know, I just want to take the edge off. Well, what about when things really get rough and the edge gets bigger? Okay? Then you need more to take more of an edge off. Okay? Pastor, you don't stop preaching and going to meddling. No, I'm being honest with you. You know what I've discovered about this new generation, these young people, these millennials? You know what they want? They want the truth. They don't want you to sugarcoat anything. They want the truth. And the truth does what? It sets people free. Amen? You can be free to be a blessed person. And it pays for you to be careful in this life and to not be willing to receive counsel from the ungodly. That's what he says. David says, we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, come on, they'll say. Oh, come on. We're going to dance a little bit. Oh, come on to the party. Nah, you know, that's really not me. Oh, how do you know? You need to get out with us and have a good time. Come on. You'll have a good time. Have you ever been told that? Come on. In other words, why don't you come on in my ungodly world and check it out? They're doing a better job pulling people to the ungodly than we are pulling people to the godly. That was kind of weak, guys. I said they're doing a better job pulling people to the ungodly than we are to the godly. Come on, man. You need to just kind of chill out a little bit. Have a good time. It'll do you good. Okay? David says we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. with all the advice that comes to us from so many different sources, the righteous man knows how to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. He knows how to discern as the Holy Spirit speaks. You and I know right from right and wrong from wrong. We know right from wrong. We know the difference because you know what we have? We have inside of us conscience. God has placed conscience in us. And when we do something wrong, we're bothered by it. And we're not happy about it until we can bring it to a situation where we can say, oh, no, I got that. Help me here. I got that straight. That's what we're talking about. I'm blessed now. Why? Because I got it straight. You know, when you have a little word or two with your spouse, you're not happy till you get it straight. You're not happy. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, how you doing, man? You know, how's your son or how's your daughter doing? Oh, they're doing okay. Well, how's his wife doing? Well, you know, they're not on, come on, help me here. They're not on speaking terms right now. You don't want to give that report, but sometimes people don't have it straight. Sometimes things are very crooked. Sometimes things are very out of balance. David says, you and I do not want to take counsel from the ungodly. What else does he say? He says, secondly, that we don't need to stand in the path of sinners. Sinners have a path where they stand. And the righteous man knows he does not belong in their path. The word path here speaks of something. The word path speaks of a way, a road, or a direction. And the righteous man is not traveling in the same direction as the unrighteous man is. He's not. He's traveling on two different paths. The righteous man is not afraid, come on here, to take a road less traveled. The righteous man is not afraid to take a road less traveled because he knows it is leading him to a blessed life. It is leading him to total happiness. It is leading him to eternal life. It may be the lesser path, but he knows where it's leading him. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14? Hear it from the Master here. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. Notice what it says there. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. How many of you feel like sometime you're really part of a minority? You know why? Because you are. You are a part of a minority. You are. You're a part of the people who are taking a less traveled road. You know, I had a story yesterday that was really jacked up. I wish I could share it, but I just can't because of the internet. That it just let me know when I heard the story. I said, that's horrendous. That's crazy. That is absolutely insane. And it has to do with basic human morals. Can I just tell you, our society has no morals. Amen. They have none. Okay? They have none. Now they're giving kids the right to choose whether what sex they want to be or whether they just want to check non-binary, okay? My little 7-year-old granddaughter, bless her heart, comes home from school with a form. Name, Ava Wheelis. Sexuality, male, female, non-binary. Haven't decided yet. This is a messed up culture, okay? That is so contrary to the Word of God. You're sitting in a church building this morning on Sunday morning. Don't you know it's your day? Don't you know you could go to the beach? Don't you know you could take a trip to Nag's Head? Don't you know you could do what you want to do today? No, because the day is a day that we declare a day of worship, and we enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we enter His courts with praise, and we're thankful unto Him, and we bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever, and His peace goes throughout all generations. Why am I here today? To declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm here to worship Him. And not just today. Guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? Worship. And Tuesday, worship. And Wednesday, worship. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to declare His worth. Why? Because He is worthy of praise. Amen. Man, it's a sick world we live in. a sick world. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are what? There are pleasures forevermore. God has a path. God has a good road. God has a good destiny. And his destiny leads me to what? Eternal life in his presence. Amen. The third thing we don't do is sit around in the seat of the scornful. We don't take a seat in the seat of the scornful. One translation uses for scornful, mockers. The scornful or the mockers love to sit and to criticize the people of God and the things of God. I remember when Pastor Joy was in the school system many, many years ago, she taught school before being a hospice chaplain. And one of the teachers told her very clearly, she was teaching at Riverview Elementary in Murfreesboro. She said, "Oh, no, I can't go to your church." And Joy said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Oh, I have to go to," and she named her church. I'm not going to name it. She said, "I can't go to your church because I can't live that way. But in the church that I go to, I can live this way." Oh. Mainline denominational church, which, by the way, is shut down now. They're out of business. Wow. Not only them, but many of their churches across the U.S. closed. Closed down, sold to someone else. You know why? Because broad is the path that leads to destruction. But she said to Pastor Joy, "Oh, I can't go to your church because I can't live the way that I live going to your church. But in my church, we can." Okay? Wow. Now roll the tape forward 25 years and your church is out of business. They're all gone. Such a sad commentary. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't sit with mockers. When others are putting down Christians, it's so easy to sit with them, and it's so easy to jump on their criticisms. And it's easy because guess what? There are things that you could find about me and you could criticize, and there are things that me could find out about you and I could criticize. But we don't take a seat in the seat of the scornful and the seat of mockers. And listen, we're the people of God. There is a way that we will not walk. There is a path that we will not stand in, and there is a seat that we will never sit down and take a seat in. There are just certain things that the righteous people cannot, will not do. Come on. Well, enough about what we don't do. Tell me what the righteous do. How about that? What the righteous man does. Secondly, well, the second verse gives it to you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Throughout Psalms, you will see the phrase, the law of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about just the first five books of the Bible. He's not talking about the Hebrew Bible. He's talking about the entirety of God's holy word. The righteous man is delighted with the word of God. What makes you happy? What gets you excited? This is a good way to see what's important to you. If personal pleasure is the only thing that makes you happy, I see it all the time on Facebook. People sitting back, feet propped up in the air. All you can see is from their hips to their toes. In my what? My happy place. Okay? That's all well and good. I do that too. But if that's all that you do, somebody say all. If that's all that you do, then I'm concerned about you. If every weekend you just live to get to your happy place, if you just got to get to the beach or you got to do this or you got to do that, this is my happy place. This is my time. What makes you happy? What makes you excited? If that's the way you are, weekend after weekend after weekend, everybody deserves a vacation. But if that's the way you live all the time, you know what you are? You're very self-oriented. You're a selfish person. And all of your energies and all of your passion and all of your finance goes to support you. Look at your checkbook ledger. Pull up your internet bank account and see where you're spending your money. That's what will tell you where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you pull up your internet bank account and it's got a Sam's Club, Barefoot Bernie's, Nag's Head Fishing Pier, Busch Gardens, if that's all you see, you are a selfish person. It's quiet in here at First Presbyterian Church in Ahoskie, North Carolina today. Come on, guys. There should be some missions giving. There should be some tithe because it's holy. There should be some giving to the kingdom of God because you are a blessed person. Come on. What does a righteous man do? His delight is in the law of the Lord. The righteous man finds his delight in the law of the Lord. If a person delights in something, you don't have to beg him to do it. I remember when I was young, 2 years ago. Just kidding. No, this was many years ago. I remember when I was young, my brother was an avid water skier. Any water skiers in the building? He skied on a Conley, man, if that tells you anything, a Conley water ski. He was an avid water skier, and I watched him every day of his life. He worked a 9-to-5 job, and on his lunchtime, somebody say lunchtime, on his lunchtime, he didn't eat lunch. He grabbed something and he ate while he was preparing his boat, putting his life jackets in, making sure the ski was polished and getting the cooler full of ice. And he spent his whole lunch hour getting ready for skiing because when the clock struck 5 at the end of the day, he jumped in that vehicle that was backed in the driveway and he headed to the river. And he skied every day of his life. Why? Because he delighted in skiing. Nothing wrong with skiing. I'm just using this as an example. He poured his heart and soul, even sacrificed his lunch hour to make sure he didn't have to waste any time. And at 5 o'clock, by 5:15, he was launching the boat in the water. He was skiing, and he skied till dark. He did this over and over and over. You didn't have to beg him to do it. Why? Because that's where his delight was. But the Bible says here what? The Bible says his delight, the believer, the born-again person, the one who's blessed, his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his law, Pastor Joy covered this, he did what? He meditated on it day and night. You say, man, you must want me to act crazy. No, I don't. I want you to live a life of a blessed person who thinks about the goodness of God, who sings about the goodness of God, who talks about the goodness of God, who invests in the goodness of God, who lays up treasure not on earth but in the heavenlies because of what? The goodness of God. Amen. Your goodness is what? Running after me. I want your goodness, God. In his law, David said he meditates day and night. The righteous man ponders the word. He doesn't just hear it and read it and forget it. He thinks about it. In Eastern religions, I have a doctorate degree in theology, so I can talk about this. In Eastern religions, the whole idea behind Eastern religions, mysticism, all of that stuff, Buddhism, the whole idea, be careful getting involved in yoga classes. The whole idea is to empty your mind. Can I tell you something? An empty mind is a dangerous thing. An empty mind is an open door for a demonic spirit to come in. Okay, come on, I'm being honest with you. An empty mind is a dangerous thing. But the Eastern mysticism, the Eastern religion say, oh, what you're doing is you're emptying your mind. Cleanse your mind. Think about this. And if you do it, you might be fortunate enough to lose a pound. Come on. And you're paying $50 a month to go to the class. Come on now. Well, we're not having yoga classes at Carpenter Shop, are we? No, we're not. In the Eastern meditation, the goal is you empty your mind. But in Christian meditation, the goal is to fill your mind, okay, with the Word of God. This can be done by carefully thinking about each word, each phrase, okay? Someone messaged me this past week a question about prayer. I get questions every day of my life. Pastor, can I ask you this? Pastor, you got a minute. I want to ask you this. I got a question. One of the questions this week was, hey, How do I talk with God when in the past I've only asked him when I was in trouble? How do I just talk to God when there are no issues? My counsel to them was quite simple. You pray his word back to him. You remind him of his word to you and your awareness of his contract with you as a child of God and his blessing on your life. You do it like this. It's quite simple. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, today that your word declares that I'm blessed. That I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field, God. I just give you thanks today and I declare that when I delight in you, that I'm like a tree planted by the streams of water and I yield my fruit in season and my leaves don't wither. And whatever I do, Lord, your word says that I prosper. I just thank you, God, that you live, that you're giving me a prosperous life. And Lord, I thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and that you're going to bless my going out and my coming in. And God, I just want to praise you that you're my rock, you're my redeemer. You're my strong tower, and Lord, when I run to you, I feel safe. Can you say amen? That's how you pray. That's how you declare the goodness of God. You don't have to need a thing. You just come to God and tell him what a wonderful God he is. Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd, and because you're my shepherd, I shall not want. And you make me to lie down in green pastures, and you restore my soul. Hallelujah. That's what you want to do. Declare the goodness of God to him. Declare his worth. You got any kids? Have your little kids ever come up to you and say, Daddy, I love you? And you say, Honey, I love you too. And you're thinking, what do you want? And you found out, nothing. Mommy, I love you. Come on, man. That's why I love having grandkids. All right? They just tell you they love you. They don't want anything. They know you got a bunch of money in your pocket big enough to choke a mule, okay? And they know that at some point you're going to reach out in there of your goodness and give it to them. They know that. But you don't come to them and you don't, oh, Paul, granddaddy, please, please give me some money, give me some money, give me some money. No, they don't do that. They just say, I love you. And you're going to find it in your heart and in your destiny to bless your children. And to bless your grandchildren. I told somebody this not too long ago. Listen, I give to my kids because I can. And because I want to. My kids never ask me for anything. Never. I bless them because I want to bless them. My grandkids, I bless them. Why? Because I want to. Amen. God is a good God. And he wants to bless you. Charles Spurgeon said this. I borrowed some Spurgeon quotes in this message, as you can tell. I love this. Pastor Joy talked about this a moment ago. I think you found my password. Charles Spurgeon said this. Meditation chews the cud and gets the sweetness and the nutritive value from the word into the heart. This is the way the godly bring forth much fruit. Meditation chews the cud like a cow. You take a verse. Don't read the whole chapter. Just chew the cud. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, you got this? I've been helping someone online with discipleship, and I guess they thought I was going to give them, well, read Revelation chapters 1 to 15 and we'll talk tomorrow. No, you can't handle that. You take a verse and you think about that verse in its context, what he meant to them and how it applies to you. Take the position of a reporter, who, what, when, where, why, and how. You open one verse of scripture, get a piece of paper and write on the paper, who, what, when, where, why, and how. You'll have a job on your hands for the next hour. Jesus wept. One short verse, shortest one in the scriptures. Jesus wept. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. You can do it. I promise you, it's more than you're ready to accomplish. It's about understanding and meditating on his word. Many believers lack because they just read and they don't meditate. It's not only reading that does us good, but our soul is inwardly feeding on it, Friday night, I was sitting in the house watching, you know, I have my favorites on Friday night, Magnum P.I., Blue Bloods. Anybody? Come on. Magnum P.I., Blue Bloods. I knew he was going to fall in love with that detective, didn't you? I did. I could see it in the script, man, a year ago. He going to fall in love with her. Magnum P.I. Blue Bloods. I'm looking out the sliding glass door of my house, and Pastor Joy is sitting there on a rocking chair. Bogey's rocking chair. And I look, and her phone is laying there on the table. And I finally peeped out there and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" "I'm listening to a podcast." In other words, I'm not interested in your Magnum P.I. and your Blue Bloods. Okay. And I hear the teaching of the word coming out of her phone. So what is she doing? She's chewing the cud. She's meditating on the word. Night. Okay? She does it in the day too. She gets up in the morning, runs a tub full of water. And she takes her iPhone and leans it up on the edge of the tub. And she turns on Amgram Lots. And for 30 minutes she washes and she washes. She washes the body. And she washes her spirit, okay? She meditates on the Word of God, okay? Listen, you got all kinds of ways. You are without excuse, okay? You don't have any excuses. You're paying $50, $75 a month of this thing. You might as well get the juice out of it, okay? Okay? And all you got to do is ask, okay? Where is that scripture that says so and so and so? You know, this is the gospel truth if I've ever told it. I'm riding down the road. "Pastor Wallace, where's that scripture that says so and so and so?" And I'm driving. I'm thinking, man, I don't have time for this. I said, "Hang on one second. Hey, Siri, where's that scripture in the Bible?" I said, "Oh, it's in Matthew 7, verse 15. "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Did you ever know that you're my hero?" "What's your name?" "Siri." Okay. Meditate on the word day and night. Y'all having a good time yet? All right. How the righteous man is blessed. Psalm 1, verse 3. Somebody say we're almost halfway. He shall be like a tree. Here's a metaphor, okay? He shall be like a tree. He's not a tree, he's like a tree. He's like a tree because he's is as if he's planted by the rivers of water, and he will bring forth his fruit in season, and his leaves won't wither, and whatever he does prospers. David said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. What does that mean? If your tree is by the river, it has a continual, constant source of nourishment from water. It'll never wither away because it's always getting what it needs. If we're constantly needy, it may be worth examining if we're planted by the rivers of water or not. If we're always needing. Man, I know some people that just always have needs. Always. I was listening to Pastor Joy last night. We were talking for a few minutes, and she said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, needy. Just needy." Some people just use Facebook to draw attention to themselves. I was quiet, y'all. I said, some people use Facebook to draw attention to themselves. It's the only affirmation they get. Somebody hits like, oh! They're thrilled because somebody liked it. That's pitiful. If that's the only affirmation you get, somebody liked your post. I've heard even people say this. "I put stuff on Facebook, nobody even likes my stuff." Duh. Stop putting stuff on Facebook then, okay? Then we're going, like, okay? Wow. The righteous man bears fruit, okay? He brings forth fruit in its season. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is the fruit that the righteous man bears. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit comes naturally on this tree. If you're plugged into the kingdom of God, you're a blessed person. You're walking out your faith, and you know what we should see growing on your tree? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, patience, forbearance, self-control. That's what we should see growing in your life. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. So you have to have the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life. You have to have it. And when you're plugged into the things of God, you will see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. Fruit also has a season. Some get discouraged. Please don't do that, Siri. Sorry. Fruit also has a season. Some people get discouraged when they begin to walk as a righteous one. They've given their lives to Christ. And fruit is not just immediately evident. You just need to wait because fruit is seasonal. That doesn't mean that, listen, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, everything's just going to be perfect. It's not. God is going to, listen, you just signed up for a life in Christ. One guy said it like this. He said, one of the best things could happen to you after you give your life to Jesus is that you pass away, okay? Because then you wouldn't have to endure. You just go to heaven right then, okay? Because listen, I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. Salvation costs you nothing. Discipleship, hear me, beloved, will cost you your life. Okay? Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will cost you your life. You give your life to Him. You give it away. Okay? And you ask Him to be Lord of your life. Make your decisions. Cause you to go in the path that you should go. And you know what? The Bible says, David says, He whose leaf also shall not wither. Brown, dead, withered leaves are a sign of death and dryness. The righteous man doesn't have these signs of death and dryness. His leaves are green. His leaves are alive. Even if he goes through challenging times, he doesn't worry. Why? Because Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things are working together for the good to those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to his purpose. We've looked at the ways of the godly. What about the ways of the ungodly? The dangerous place of the ungodly. Psalm 1, look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. They're like chaff. That's ungodly people. Pastor Joy and I in 1994 went to India for 3 weeks. In India, this is a common occurrence. There's very few roads. But when there is a road, a paved road, farmers will come along, the servant girls and the servant boys will throw the grain on the side of the road and they will tread it. They would just walk back and forth across the grain. What are they doing? They're walking on the grains to break the chaff off of the grain. Little husky, kind of like the husk of a peanut. They'll break the chaff away. And they get so excited. Oh, the kids will say, coming, it's a bus, the bus is coming, the bus is coming. And when they see a bus in the distance coming down the road, the kids will go take a scoop of grain. And right before the bus gets there, what do? They throw it up in the air. And the wind, whoosh, when the bus passes by, you can look and you know what's happening? The chaff will blow away. And they do this over and over again because they're preparing the grain to be pure enough to grind into flour. Ungodly people are described by the scriptures as chaff. You are described in the scriptures as a tree planted by the waters, bringing your fruit in due season. Leaves not withering, having a source of life to the end and beyond. That's the way you're described. But the ungodly are described as chaff, which the wind drives away. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, intrinsically worthless, dead, unserviceable, without any substance, and easily driven off. That's ungodly people. That's chaff. There's a huge difference between a tree, the righteous people of God, and the ungodly or the unrighteous, the chaff. Remember, you're like a tree. The righteous, the godly are like a tree, but the unrighteous are like chaff. There's a dangerous future for the ungodly. Look at verse number 5. We're getting close. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because the ungodly have no weight. They will be found lacking on judgment day. Remember the verse of scripture in Daniel chapter 5? And it was said of King Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, you've been weighed in the balances and what? Found wanting. You've been found wanting. You're lacking weight. You've been weighed in the balances. You're nothing. He goes on to say that not only do they have no weight, but they can't stand in the gathering of the righteous. That's the truth. Listen, you and I are children of the living God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have a position with Christ. We're like a tree planted by the water, but the unrighteous are like chaff that just blows away, has no substance, no value. In fact, the summary of the whole psalm can be noted in verse 6, the last verse. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, the Bible says they shall perish. If our worship team would join us here. No less than 4 times in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Christianity is called the way. Remember that story? Those who are found in the way. 4 times in the Bible, Christianity is called the way of the righteous, not the way of the ungodly. My question is, which way are you? Which way are you today? If you're listening online, which way are you? Are you on the path of the righteous today? Are you blessed? A blessed people who's receiving the present blessings of peace and joy and salvation and healing and hope for the future? Or are you struggling with the reality that you know that you're not a part of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? If you're here today, every head bowed, please. If you're here today and you just simply say, Pastor, I need to know the Lord. I need to be a part of the blessed people. And you're here today and you know that you're not straight with God. I want you right where you are very quickly. Just slip up your hand. Anyone at all. You know you're not straight with God. Just slip your hand up quickly. I'll acknowledge you and then you can put it down. Anyone at all? Pastor, pray for me. I know I'm not straight with God. I know I'm not right with God. Anyone, I'm just going to wait a moment. God bless you. The Lord sees you. We're not here to embarrass you. Anyone else? Just need to renew your faith today. Come on, anyone else, join. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? I know I'm not straight with God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're just getting it straight. Listen, it's a meeting between the Holy Ghost and you, okay? There's about 5 that have raised their hands today. Are there others to join them right now? We're not here to embarrass you. I promise you, I'm not here to embarrass you. More important to me is that you get that connection straight. Anyone else at all? God bless you. 6. Secondly, let me just say this. You're a part of the blessed life, the righteous life, and you You simply want to continue to enhance and to nurture this walk with God through your word. Maybe you picked up something very simple today. But you see, maybe your concept of getting in the Bible is you got to have one of those big 40-pound ones. King James only. Shut your closet door and you got to stay in there an hour. Maybe you just haven't been able to live up to some standard that you feel like has been laid before you. Can I just tell you something? There's ways that you can be creative. And once you get a little bit of God's word, you take a scripture. Remember what I said during the message? Just take a scripture. Because what's going to happen when you take a scripture and you begin to chew on it, next thing you know, you're going to be reading two or three verses and then a chapter, and then you're going to study. You're going to get somebody's study guide through the book of, and because you delight in the law of the Lord, okay? You just delight in the law of the Lord. You're going to start feasting on that, and you're going to be desirous of that time. You know what my son Zach said? He said he got in an accident and he's not been able to go to the gym. He said yesterday, he's only missed like 2 days. He said, man, I missed the gym. Yeah, wait a minute, dude. So we laughed at him. He goes over to the fireplace. We have a couple of weights sitting by the fireplace. And he starts laughing. He takes his left hand and says, ah, that feels good. Okay. Yeah, Zach, you got 8 weeks, partner. Okay. I know, but this feels so good. Feels so good. Okay. I've snuck up on Zach too a few times. He has his favorites, his preachers that he listens to. He pulls up his podcast. I looked at his iPhone one day. He's got the whole back with Psalm 23, and you go through the pages, and he's got his favorite scriptures lined at every spot. And when he works out in the gym, his little private gym, you can't hear anything because the preaching of the gospel so overpowers the room. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm listening to the word, man. Okay, all right. See, you can still enjoy yourself with your favorite pastimes, and because of the technology of the day, you can feed your spirit, man. Come on, rejoice with me, beloved. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. God is good. Why don't we stand together? Those of you that raise your hands, if you would, just come and slip out to the front here. And others as well, if you just want to come and stand in His presence for a moment. I just believe that there's a spirit of impartation this morning that God wants to impart unto you. Just a spirit of hunger and thirst for the things of God. Come on, step out of your seat. Just join me here in His presence in the front. There you go. Step out of your seat. Just begin as they sing it right now. Just begin to worship Him. Pray one for another. Amen. Come on, lay your hands on someone. Pray one for another. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Come on, sing it, guys.
Washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on. How many winners we have in the house? Come on, guys. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let me read this to you one more time. Hallelujah. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Come on, is that you? Or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He chews the cud. Come on. And who meditates on his law day and night. That person. Lord, thank you that I'm like a tree planted by streams of water. Thank you that I yield my fruit in season. Thank you that my leaves don't wither. And thank you, Lord, that whatever I do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They like chaff. The wind blows them away. And therefore the wicked won't stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. I believe that's a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. See, there are two judgments in the Bible. Somebody say two. There's two judgments in the Bible. There's the judgment seat of Christ, which every believer will go through. And then you'll receive your reward, okay? And then there's the Bema judgment, the judgment of the wicked. And God's not going to let people go to hell without a fair trial, okay? You're not going to go without knowing why, because you're a Christ rejecter. And so you want to find yourself in the line of the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says in Corinthians that every man's work will be judged according to what it is. It'll be fashioned by two categories: wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And what happens to the gold, silver, and the precious stones? They're just purified. They're just purified. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble just burns up for nothing. God knows why you're preaching. God knows why you're singing. God knows why you're serving. God knows why you're a greeter. God knows why you work in kids' church. God knows why you give to missions. Okay, so if it's not pure, He knows it. And the Bible says that the wicked are not going to stand there in the assembly of the righteous. There's not going to be any wicked ones around you in the judgment seat of Christ. Their judgment is later. Their judgment is later. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked, it just leads to destruction. Okay? I heard a preacher say one time, sin will take you farther than you ever meant to go and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And that's so true. Sin will separate you from God. And so let's make a fresh commitment today. Let's make a fresh commitment every time we come through these gates to worship God, but to be encouraged, to meditate on His Word, to become more like Him and less of us. Amen. Chew the cud, somebody. Chew the cud. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Would you again greet Nisha and welcome her to Carpenter Shop today? So glad to see you today. Hallelujah. You're a celebrity, girl. We're glad you're here today. Good to see home, folks. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Yes, Lord.